Let's go to the book of Job in chapter number 14. I want to take a text from verse number 14 of chapter number 14. The Bible says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Once again, verse number 14, the Bible says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." And I want you to consider in particular those words at the end of the verse, "till my change come." And I want you to consider for a little while Job awaiting his change. I preached this last time that I preached from the book of Job on the subject bags and bottles, boxes and books at the judgment seat of Christ. And in verse number 17, the Bible says, "My transgression is sealed up in a bag." We shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and there are so many things that shall come out at the judgment seat of Christ. But this morning I want to deal with this idea of Job awaiting his change. Job, of course, was going through a very hard time in his life, physically, and then, of course, with his relationships, with his friends accusing him and trying to put him under conviction and bring him to a point of confessing that it was his fault that all these things had come upon him. And in this tremendously hard time, I believe that Job still had hope. He still had hope that when he left this life, there would be a time that he would be changed. In fact, in the book of Job, chapter number 19 and verse 25, we have a tremendous testimony by Job. The Bible says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Even if the worms destroyed his body, still Job would see God. In his flesh, Job would see God. Therefore, there had to be a change take place after the time that Job died. There would have to be a change that would take place. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel a number of prophecies. Of course, Daniel was given prophecies about different things that would happen in history, empires that would rise and fall and so on. And among other things that the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel is some information about the tribulation period. And actually there were some troubling things told to Daniel. But then at the last of the book of Daniel, in fact the last verse of the book of Daniel says this, Daniel 12:13, "But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." The book of Job ends this way. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. After the time of Job's captivity, as it might be said, by Satan, there was 140 years that passed, and then finally Job died. And Job has been resting, as it might be said. Job has been waiting for the change to come. He's still at this time waiting for that change to come. So I want you to consider for a little while these few thoughts. First of all, Job waiting for his change to come. The Bible tells us about Lazarus. Lazarus died, and he was carried by angels. And of course, he was taken to the bosom of Abraham. Now, here Lazarus was a man that was a beggar that was full of sores. And during his lifetime, many a man may have seen him but been disgusted at his looks because of him being full of sores and refused to touch him. And I don't know, but Lazarus might have gone for years without ever having an affectionate touch by any other human being. And yet imagine at the time of his death, angels coming and taking the body or taking the soul and the spirit of Lazarus, leaving that infected body behind, taking him up to Abraham, to Abraham, and there him being embraced by Abraham. And I actually believe this idea of him going into the bosom of Abraham does not simply speak about him going to the place of paradise. But I believe that Abraham actually embraced that man that had been a former beggar and a former leper. And what a wonderful time it was. And I believe that there were others about him that looked upon him and spoke to him affectionately. And so we might think about, if that is a standard, Job, at the time of his death, being carried by angels into paradise. And so think about Job being in paradise and there awaiting the change to take place. Job may have been one of the very early individuals in the Old Testament period, early individuals in the earth's history. And so imagine when Job died, it might have been that he met a number of the patriarchs or the early saints that are spoken of in the Word of God. Imagine, and there are so many things that we don't have all the evidence about, but imagine Job being taken to paradise and there perhaps having a man approach him and the man saying, "Well, hello, my name is Abel. I was actually the first one to be carried here by the angels. And, of course, I was killed by my brother Cain. And by the way, Cain's in the other side. He's over there in hell with a great gulf between us. But I came here. I was the first one to come." And it might have been that, as he said, "I was here," that finally others started to come and we started to talk to one another. "Here's my mother and father. Well, here's Adam and Eve, and they're here as well." And perhaps he introduced him to Methuselah, the man that lived the longest of all those, the record that we have in the Scriptures. And so he might have introduced him to a number of the early individuals from the history of the earth, a number of the early saints from the history of the earth. I imagine that they might have gotten together and shared stories about things that took place. Imagine a whole variety of people being there at the time that that Job entered into paradise. And then, of course, there were many others that were to come. Perhaps he saw Enoch there. Enoch would have been somewhat of an oddity. I'm not positive that Enoch went to paradise. I don't know where he would have went if he didn't, but if he was there, imagine Enoch being there, a man that walked with God, a man that still had a natural body, at least a man that was translated instead of dying, he was translated. And I don't know exactly how all that worked out, but still, imagine him being there with Enoch, and Enoch being a little bit different from some of the others. Imagine as well, perhaps he, along with those that had been there for many years, he might have met some of those that had been there just a little while. Perhaps some of those that had recently arrived told about Job, told about his suffering, told about his righteousness. There may have been some that were there when Job got there that knew about his situation, what he'd been going through, and had talked about it. But I believe that when Job got there in paradise, his attitude was one of thankfulness. Thankfulness to be there. I believe his attitude as well was one of hope. He had a hope that there was a change coming. He had a hope about a number of things that were prophesied both by he and by others. I think when the atmosphere in paradise, when Job got there, might have been an atmosphere of thoughtfulness, as perhaps people thought back about their lives and things that they had done and things that they had not done. And I believe that many of them probably looked back in their lives and thought to themselves, "I wish I had lived for God more. I wish I'd been more faithful." And so we might consider Job when he first got into paradise. Then consider changes while Job waited for his change. While Job was in paradise, there were others that arrived. And exactly where Job's life falls in history, I'm not sure. But it seems that he might have come along before the Mosaic Law. And so it might have been that he was there in paradise. Here comes Moses. And here comes Aaron. Here comes Joshua. It might have been that he saw Rahab and Samson. And then eventually David and a variety of others coming down and being there in the heart of earth, the earth with him in paradise. Imagine Solomon being there. Some of them may have come in and talked about life under the sun, as Solomon spoke of it. Some of them may have told about things that had been going on just recently before they left the first of the earth, the face of the earth, and came down to spend time in paradise. Imagine if there were stories told about defeat and victory. Imagine if there were stories told about the work of God, the unfolding work of God, prophecies that had been received by different ones. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets were very interested in the gospel, in the way of salvation. And so imagine the prophets, and of course all the prophets knew about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they knew all the details that we have in the Gospels, and yet all of the prophets knew about Jesus Christ. I believe there's plenty of proof texts concerning that. And of course, even Abraham and other saints are all saved by grace and through faith and without works. But still, they did not see the full picture. They did not know the whole story about how things would play out. And so imagine them as they would come, and perhaps one would come, bring his prophecy. Maybe David, let's say. David might have come along and talked about what he had heard from God. Maybe he would start out by saying, well, God gave me a prophecy. He gave me a psalm, and it started out like this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And certainly it is a psalm that points toward the Messiah. It might have been that Isaiah came along and talked about his prophecy and told about Isaiah 53 and the variety of things that are found in Isaiah 53. And as the different ones came together, Enoch with his prophecy about the second coming, and Isaiah and David and so on, the different ones came together and brought their prophecies. It might have been that as they talked about them, and I believe if they were interested in them upon the earth, they would have certainly been interested when they gathered together in paradise. And so they might have started putting things together and getting a greater understanding of what was coming. Then I want you to consider unusual things. I believe all along the way there would have been people coming into paradise, new people coming in, saints of God coming in. At the same time, of course, people going to hell on the other side. But imagine those people coming in, bringing information and so on, and talking in the midst and introducing themselves and meeting others there in paradise. Now, I think there were some unusual things, things that just didn't happen all of the time. For instance, think about the time when Samuel was summoned to appear before the witch of Endor. I certainly don't think that was a regular occurrence. I have no record of it happening any other time. I do believe, according to the Scripture, it did happen. I believe in that unusual situation. Saul, of course, he was not in fellowship with God. He wanted that witch of Endor to bring Samuel up. In fact, he spoke about her divining by a familiar spirit. She might have had a spirit or spirits that she was familiar with. And Saul wanted her to bring up Samuel. And when Samuel appeared, she cried with a loud voice. It might have been that she was a total fraud. It might have been that she never had any relationship with any particular spirit. Or it may have been with some familiar spirit. She had some relationship. She had some conversations with particular familiar spirits. But I don't believe anything like this had ever happened. I think it scared her. And she cried aloud. And of course, Samuel gave the prophecy to Saul. He gave the prophecy that soon he and his sons would be there with Samuel. And so I believe it wasn't long after Samuel was there and after Samuel had been summoned to go before to meet with the witch of Endor, that then Saul ended up in paradise. And his sons, Jonathan, ended up in paradise. And so imagine the different ones coming. And occasionally an unusual situation. Consider this. The time when Lazarus was summoned to go back to the tomb, to go back to the grave clothes, to go back to the natural body. I certainly don't believe that was a normal thing. But in that particular case, Lazarus, who's already dead, God, Jesus Christ, called him forth from the grave. So imagine him being called from paradise to go back to the tomb and back to the grave clothes. You remember what his sister said? By now he stinketh. I don't know. It might have been Lazarus thought to himself, by now I stink. But still, God called him. He summons him, and he entered that body, and Jesus Christ called him from the grave. I certainly don't think that was a normal happening. I believe, of course, that Lazarus stayed here upon the earth for a while, and then after that, he left and he died. I suspect it was after the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but still, I believe he died again. And so that was another unusual happening. We might consider Elijah arriving. And Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. He did not die. And so I think that was an unusual situation. And then, imagine after years of people going into paradise. And so many saints entering paradise. And perhaps as they were coming, they kept telling things. They kept telling things about the coming Christ. And imagine when it was nearing the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, it might have been that an excitement stirred in paradise. And then finally imagine Simeon. Remember, he was an old man. But imagine Simeon coming down to paradise. And exactly when he died, I don't know, but perhaps Simeon entered into paradise. And Simeon said, I have held the Christ, the baby Christ, in my arms. Maybe Anna came. She was an old woman. And maybe she came into paradise and she said, I saw him in the temple. He's only 8 years of age and I saw my Redeemer right there in the temple. Imagine perhaps a shepherd came down to paradise, died and went to paradise. And there, the shepherd said, we were out there in the field, me and some other shepherds. We were out there in the field, and then all of a sudden, the sky lighted up with the glory of God, and there was an angel that appeared, and the angel gave us information about the Christ child being born and how we could find the Christ child. He would be in Bethlehem, and he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then all of a sudden, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. As they went along, it might have been the report after report came about the Jesus that had been born. Maybe a wise man died, went to paradise, and he said, we went to the house of the young child. There we took frankincense and gold and myrrh and presented it before the young child. Imagine if perhaps Joseph. And we don't have a record of Joseph in the latter part of the life of Jesus Christ. So it might have been that Joseph died before Jesus Christ died. I suspect that's the case. And Joseph may have went down to paradise and he might have said, Jesus. Jesus, of course, he's not my son. He's the Son of God. But I was there when he was born. I was there as he was growing up. In fact, I was there in the temple when he was about his father's business. And I know I've been with that with my wife's child, you might say. I've been with God's Son. I've seen Him developing over time. What a fine young man He's turning out to be, taking such a good stand. Imagine if after Joseph came, eventually John the Baptist showed up. After he'd had his head cut off, maybe John the Baptist showed up in paradise and John the Baptist said, I was preaching God gave me a special sign. He told me the one that the Spirit of God lighted upon like a dove and remained upon him, that was the Son of God. And I baptized Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God came down like a dove and remained upon him. That is the Son of God. And after he came, I began to decrease. And he began to increase. Imagine if one after another people came and they were giving accounts of the Jesus Christ that had been born and was living and was working wonderful works upon the earth. And then, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I believe that Jesus Christ left this earth after he had died. He's put in the tomb. Jesus Christ left this earth upon his death, went down into paradise. And there in paradise, he preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, I believe that in paradise, and I want to make this clear, I do not believe that Jesus Christ went to the center of the earth. I don't believe he went to hell in order to suffer there for our sins. That was finished. He was through with that. There's a false doctrine that you may hear sometimes about Jesus Christ suffering in hell for our sins. That's a lie. But still, I believe Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. And imagine Jesus Christ proclaiming to Job and to others of the saints, I went down to the earth, I did the work of God while I was upon the earth, and finally I became that sacrifice for you, and I have paid the price, the full price. It is finished. The full price has been paid. But imagine at the same time on the other side. And if the account of Lazarus and the rich man is an indication of what it was like, then on the other side, they may have heard the same message, a proclamation of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But I suspect on the one side it was a sweet message, and on the other side it was a bitter message to accept. Imagine Jesus Christ there after proclaiming, of course, what he had done upon the cross, and then telling Job and others. Now, I know that you've been here in this place waiting. And I've paid the price. Now, I've got to go to my Father, and I've got to present my blood, my own blood, upon the mercy seat to clear the way. But I'm going to take you with me. And Jesus Christ, of course, led captivity captive. And I believe Jesus Christ took those that for so long, Job and others, had for so long had been there in the heart of the earth in paradise, and you might say that paradise was moved up into heaven. And then after that, imagine time and time again, someone during the church age passing away and going up into heaven and being there with the Old Testament saints and with other church age saints that have already passed on. And so, it would go on. In fact, Job is still waiting for his change. Hadn't taken place yet. And as Job was in heaven, in paradise, imagine if For instance, the Apostle Paul came along and talked about the ministry there, the work there, and what was going on upon the earth. You go right on down through history. Come on right on up to this time. Imagine the different saints going into paradise and carrying their reports into paradise about what God was doing upon this earth. But there's coming a time, and it may be just any time it could happen. There is coming a time in which Jesus Christ shall come, and we that are saved shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. And we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they shall be changed. We that are alive and remain shall be changed. But Job won't be changed yet. Imagine Job still waiting on the change. And I believe that I'll go to heaven, and I'll be there during that tribulation period, and during the marriage supper of the Lamb and so on. I'll be there. And meet Old Testament saints such as Abraham and Jacob and so on. Just meet Old Testament saints there in heaven. I'll be changed. But I don't believe they'll change. Their change shall have come yet. But I believe there's coming a time after the 7 years of tribulation in which there shall be a change, a time in which those that have died in the Old Testament period and those that have died in the tribulation period, their bodies shall be raised and they shall be changed. You can look in Revelation chapter number 20, but I believe at that time, Job shall be changed. That's a long time ago. Job's been waiting a long time for the change. But I believe it'll happen. And I believe that in his flesh, not just in his soul and spirit, but in his flesh, after that change takes place, he shall see his Redeemer. Now someone might say, well, wouldn't it be enough? Wouldn't it be enough just to go to heaven, be there with all the saints and Jesus Christ? Oh, that'd be a wonderful thing. In fact, I'm certainly unworthy of that. But I want you to look at a scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. Here's one scripture that we could look at, where the Bible says, beginning of verse number 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that immortality might swallow up life." Now, I believe although Job has been tremendously blessed, being in heaven, being with Christ, I believe he still wants that change to take place. I don't believe he just wants to be unclothed. I believe he wants to be clothed with that glorified body like his Savior. I've preached on this going through Romans, but Romans in chapter number 8 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit," or to wit you might think of namely, "the redemption of our body." I believe that Job is still waiting for the redemption of his body. He's still waiting on the change. Somebody might say, well, Well, wouldn't Job just be satisfied to be in heaven with Christ and to be with the other saints? Jesus Christ paid for that change to take place. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He paid for that change. And I believe that we ought to want everything that's paid for. As far as my body, I want it to be changed. And it shall be changed. It's already bought and paid for. And in due time, I shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now let me say this as well. I believe our great desire should be to be like Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is upon this earth, after the resurrection and before the ascension, He had a glorified body. He ate fish and honeycomb. I'm going to eat fish and honeycomb in the kingdom. In my glorified body. I like fish. I like honey. I just made them both in the kingdom. In a glorified body. I might even go fishing in the kingdom. I don't know what all I'll be doing. But I do believe that all of God's people shall be changed. Not all at the same time, but they shall all be changed. And I believe all of us could say this. When our change comes, we shall see our Redeemer in the flesh. It'll be in the flesh, but it'll be glorified. And we shall see our Redeemer. How many loved ones have you got? They're already gone. How many friends and family members have you got that were saved by the grace of God? And they've already gone. But they hadn't gotten their change yet. But they shall be changed. If they're saved by the grace of God, they shall be changed. And in time, we'll all be together in our glorified bodies like Jesus Christ. It's paid for. I want it. In due time, I want it. If you will, please stand. I know it's somewhat of an unusual message. But thank the Lord for all that we've got to look forward to. The state of Florida, I think they had a program called Bright Futures for Children. I got a bright future. I got a very bright future. Amen. Let's go ahead to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for Your many blessings to us. And God, You know each of our hearts. God, it might be that this has stirred some hope in some. Some it might have stirred a longing. I pray that You'll just simply work in all of us, helping us to look forward. For all that You have promised for us, God, I pray that You'll help us to trust You. And even in times where it seems like things are not working out the way You said, I pray that we will trust You. And I thank You that You shall always do right. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you will, please turn to the number 308 in the hymn book, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake and take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Chris, if you will, how about leading us in prayer?